Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday here on 96.5 The Fan, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you, gold still out. Our guy Harold Coots from Fox 4 joining us. How are you, Harold?
What's going on?
So look, I didn't even make us a cocktail today. Our friends over at Sazerac gave me this bottle of already perfectly crafted old fashioned.
Sounds good.
So is this going to be you? You want a little old fashioned?
I enjoy an old fashioned.
Drew, I did not get you a glass. He's a little sick. Do you want some old fashioned?
Sure. Yes. I feel better today.
Will you do me a favor and go get a glass with some ice out of the office?
Okay.
And then I will pour you some. I promise.
Do we have? Where do I need?
They're
the ice
on
at?
The shelf on the left side inside the door. Okay. So look, we can just say this right out loud.
I know, right? You're just explaining the local kitchen here.
Our office. So like the way like we've got like. Alex and I technically have an office together. We never sit in it. It just collects Coding Gold garage sale stuff for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum all year. So if you go in there right now, there's like paintings from local artists or a game-used Carlos Gonzalez broken bat.
Nice.
There's all kinds of like random stuff
the
in there.
Oh, yeah, garage sale you guys do all the time. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So it's all just like full of stuff like that. That just like slowly builds up throughout the year. And because this year will be the fifth annual we've done... You know, we're trying to do bigger and better than ever. So we've already started collecting stuff for next year. So if you've got something for us, let us know.
Oh, I might have a few things. You never know.
You know, people
something
like
around.
You know,
something
things around. From personal. You yeah. know, personal things sure. from Harold Coontz.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like that piece of thing that had Super Bowl stuff on it that you thought you were going to keep around. It's just been collecting dust.
Kind of reminds me of
like
the,
a program. You know.
Yeah, true. Kind of reminds me of when we were like back when I was working in Oklahoma. We did the state fairs and we had to like sign autographs and I'd just be like, "Yeah, here's a picture of my autograph." And I didn't realize people actually wanted it, and they're like, "Oh, you actually really did watch."
I always try to tell people every once in a while, somebody like, "Hey, will you sign this?" I'm like, "Look, I don't know how to break this to you, but I'm devaluing whatever you have me sign." So like. Please do not have me sign anything with, like, Chiefs or Royals or that kind of... Like, if it's just, like, some random thing you made, cool, that's fine. Do not let me sign anything that possesses value now, because I've only made it worth less money by signing it.
Andy Reid saying, we welcome this kid in, and we'll give him a shot.
Oh, on Trader?
Regarding the kicker.
That's not exactly a ringing. Give him a shot implies that they might just cut him and sign somebody else next week, huh?
Yeah, well, I was just out there. And I got to watch him, and it was kind of...
How was it?
Well, you know, Fast Fridays.
It's
1 minute and 12 seconds. But I think this time it went over 2 minutes. But it was... they were doing their, you know, onside kick press. And that we can't record, obviously. But you could overhear them saying, new guy, hey! And then, like, somebody said, look at Irish, because, you know, he went to Notre Dame his last year. I'm like, I don't know what the bull chant is for South Florida, but, like, somebody may have said that, too. And, I mean, they're basically just like, and then you had some of their PR staff were like, hey, have you even met him? Like, no. Like, you just, this guy's going around like, where's the bathrooms? Where's the locker room?
Hey, I don't even know where I'm like, where do I park my car?
Yeah, like, where do I park my car? Like, does this clearance work? Like, it's like... So, I mean, when Andy Reid says that, yeah, I have no idea what he's capable of. I've never even seen him. So, I mean, outside of what Dave Tobe and a couple other people told me. So, like, let's see what happens and let's roll with it. Yay. So, yeah. I mean, you don't want to say that before the biggest game, one of the biggest regular season games of the year. But you have to.
Yeah, the timing of it, admittedly not great. But as what I pointed out earlier, I think it's still true, is like, he can only cost you two games. No offense.
Yeah.
If you even lose on a last-second field goal against the Panthers or the Raiders, that ain't the reason you lost.
Well, you remember.
No offense.
Yeah.
Don't be putting yourself in a position to have to win on a last-second kick against the Panthers.
Well, remember.
Can't cost you those games.
Remember, though, that Colts game a few years back? Amendola? Yeah.
Yep.
And they got to the point where, like, he had the yips or something where, like, he couldn't even get an extra point. And it was, like, fourth and two at the 15. Yeah, we're going for it. I mean, like, are you going to be in that type of situation? You hope not, but.
I don't know. Kickers are so good anymore. Like, I just assume even this guy will come in and make, like, 75, 80%. Like, somebody
pointed out something. He's got a strong leg. I mean, the key for them really was kickoffs. They're like, get that thing past the end zone.
Yeah.
That was the biggest key. And they're like, field goals will measure how you look in, you know, pregame warmups.
Like, I don't, someone was like, he couldn't even make his kicks in college. And, like, I went and looked it up. He made 68.5% of his kicks in college. And they did not seem to like that I had pointed out that Harrison Butker made 71%.
Yeah.
It wasn't exactly nails.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, in his time at Georgia Tech.
We're talking about college. How about in the NFL where he's 3 for 3?
Yeah.
You know, like, where the pressure's on the biggest. You know? So, yeah, I know. I know one was 20 something yards, the other one was 45 yards.
I do think.
I know they were tailing left.
But yeah, they were, but they went in. I don't really care if they.
And it looked like they're strong, so yeah.
I think a lot of it is just like, I just don't think, like, I don't think that this is as big of a loss as Hollywood, Rashee, Pacheco, Minnehue. I can point out the injuries.
It can be.
Yeah, but I don't think it is currently.
You can't underestimate special teams. It's the reason why they're 9-0 right now.
Cody. Yeah, so, that's fair. With the whole blocked kick thing. Man, that guy must have just, like, film study that day for that guy who just got knocked on his ass. That's a tough day.
The thing is, you listen to a lot of people, like the Kelsey podcast, a couple others, like, they've explained it. So
it's an unwinnable position.
It's one of the hardest positions. They explain it like it's the hardest position on the field. And I'm like, you're essentially like a left tackle for your field goal unit. Yes, you're an offensive lineman. You're likely not a starting offensive lineman. And I've heard some people say, like, it's actually you're designed to fall on your back like that.
Yeah.
And then the other people have said, like, well, he just stunk. Like, it's just, there's so many different contrasting, which tells you how unique and how complex special teams is, even for field goal block.
It always looks so simple because you're just like, everyone just kind of goes through the motions on these. But, like, yeah, I think the New Heights podcast probably explained it the best to me between Jason and Travis. Mm-hmm. They said that position of the field goal unit is called tight end.
Yes.
They said his job is to stab with his arm the guy to the left, stab to the right the guy who's right, and then just allow the person standing directly in front of him to bulldoze his ass. Yeah. And you're like, well, that sounds terrible.
Sounds like the hardest position on the field, by far and away.
It doesn't seem like it would be fun.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I applaud Jason for coming out and saying, like, that's a hard position. Travis said the same thing. So, yeah, it's tough. I mean, football's tough, obviously, but yeah, that's tough. I mean, I just hate to be that guy. Like, you know, you got to revisit how you're doing things. And if it got to a point where, like, they're seeing something on film that is so key that, like, hey, I think we can exploit this. We've done it before. We've had a little bit of success. Justin Reed coming off the edge. George Karlaftis did his job. I mean, things. It was interesting. It all worked out.
I just, I mean, that's one of the weirdest ways to ever continue an undefeated season. Yeah.
A walk-off
field goal block? Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Yeah. I've asked this question to myself a little bit. How good do you think the Bills are?
You know, and I think...
Because they haven't beaten anyone good. So, like, how good do you think they are?
You were talking to Matt Verderam about that. And like, I mean, I looked at the schedule before I even heard what Matt was talking about because I've been kind of prepping for the trip. But, yeah, I mean, I've seen them beat the Titans. I've seen them beat the Dolphins by 3.
Ooh.
I mean, like, I've seen them beat a bunch of bad. I mean,
the Jets.
Coming off at the Colts. I've seen them beat the Jets. Like, the AFC East is outside of the Bills, a
pretty gross
tragedy right now. But, you know, to get up for this game, it might as well be a divisional game. So it's going to be close. The last four games have been overtime, 3-4-3 for margins of victory.
Uh-huh.
So... Yeah, I mean, I would expect nothing less than another 3 to 6 point game.
I just think I know less.
This is how they play. They know each other way too much.
I think a lot of it is I just know less about the Bills.
Yeah.
Does that, you know, like, I just don't feel like I know as much.
I've watched 2 Bills games, like, pretty much beginning to end.
One was at Miami 20?
The Ravens and the Texans.
Okay. And they lost both those games.
The Ravens, they got
beat up pretty
good. And the Texans, I mean, the Texans looked, they had a healthy Nico Collins for a half.
Yeah.
And it looked like Nico could have had, if he was healthy for two halves, he could have had 200 yards receiving if he wanted to.
I wonder if this is like where the Chiefs don't, like, Chiefs get plenty of credit, obviously, as back-to-back Super Bowl champions and three-time winners under Mahomes. But the one thing they don't get enough credit for is not getting blown out and not blowing people out is actually kind of a skill.
Yeah.
Treating it like, we know we have Patrick Mahomes and you don't.
I mean, since
if the game is essentially 0-0 in the fourth by being 20 to 20, 70, we don't care. Because if it's just 15 minutes left to play, we'll win, you won't, and that's fine with us. The Bills are great at blowing out bad teams.
Yes.
Nobody better in the league over the last 5 years of destroying bad teams. But they also, every once in a while, just get their teeth kicked in for no reason. You're like, what the hell happened here?
Yeah. I mean, like, the Chiefs, I mean, since I've been here, I can only recall, like, two times they really got, at least that I saw in person, two times they got run out of the building, and that was the Bills game here.
Yeah.
Years back, and then the game in Nashville when they played the Titans. I mean, I think they scored 3 points. Those are the only times I've ever been like, oh, they were just outclassed in every facet of the game. Yeah, every game's close. I mean, like, it's just, you know, they're close games, but they find ways to win those close games more than they don't. And that's why they're sitting here, like, when they go to the postseason, they're like, oh, you want to give us another adverse situation?
Cool.
Been through it before. Like, we've seen it all. Like,
yeah, last year's story was we got to go on the road for all of this. This year's story is can you overcome the injuries?
Yeah.
I mean, some of those guys are getting back, though.
I mean, I mean, Aminihue and Pacheco are likely not playing, obviously.
I think next week, though.
Juju Smith-Schuster is. And obviously they got Harrison out now, but... Yeah, I mean, they're overcoming injuries. They're coming back. I mean, who knows? Hollywood Brown could come back into the season, maybe. Who knows? But it's like a situation where, yeah, they're dealing with injuries, but you got 15, you got 87, and you got that interior offensive line that stayed intact and pretty strong and durable. So with those five, you've got something where, like, okay, if the tackle situation is what it is with Wanye, who looked pretty good in practice in the short time we watched him too, you know, Juwan's had a few ups and downs as well. We know about the running back situation with Kareem, but, like, again, that interior offensive line, you got 87, you got 1-5. Things seem to roll as long as those five are still there.
Yeah. Until something in that department changes, I guess I'm not going to be overly worried. I'm going to say, I've never had this, like, pre-made cut. It's pretty good. I like this. Drew, you like this? This pre-made old-fashioned?
I haven't had it yet. I'm trying to get over the I'm trying to convince myself to try it because the Sprite is nice.
I gave him a Sprite because he was... He left early. Left 30 minutes early out of the show yesterday. Drew.
Really?
He wasn't feeling good.
Where'd you have to go?
He started to get lightheaded.
The food poisoning you were talking about?
Something
was going on.
Grief.
At 1 o'clock, I got hit with something, and I tried to make it, and I was like, hey, you know what, Speck, can you help me out? Because I think I need to go home. I was sweating. Speck said I looked pale, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to try to
stay out of that room, I guess. Yeah. He seems fine today.
I went home.
You quarantined?
And nobody around him got sick.
Yeah.
Nobody around me has gotten sick. I don't have COVID. I slept 3 hours.
You tested?
I did. Because we have some at-home tests. My wife and I do left over.
I feel like every time I get a cold now, I test and it's always negative. But I try.
Yes. No, I have them on deck. I took a nap for 3 hours, woke up, ate some chicken noodle soup, drank a lot of water, went to bed early again, woke up and felt much better.
This is going
to
sound bougie. I can't eat that canned chicken noodle and soup. Gross.
Why not?
It's gross.
But you know it helps.
You know what I used to
If I'm eating chicken noodle soup, I need it made home. I need to cut up some carrots and cut up some celery. That's going for making the noodles, but, like, I'll do that sometimes too.
Wife and I went on a trip to New England, and I finally had, like, legitimate clam chowder. I used to love the chunky noodle chowder. I used to love that stuff. And then after I went to New England, I was like, this is rubbish. I can't eat this any longer. The poor chunky. And I'm like, I got to get
real
clam chowder now.
That's what it is.
You're exposed to the actual food itself. Yeah. And you're like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do the canned stuff anymore.
The,
like,
last time I ate chicken noodle soup, I made the noodles from scratch and cut up all the vegetables. Yeah. I can't be eating Campbell's now.
Yeah.
I've ruined it for myself. Like, it's like salty and thin.
Yeah, your palate makes
wispy.
The decision.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, it's just the saddest can of chicken noodle soup now.
Yeah.
Like, if that's all you had, Drew, stick with it. But you,
it's almost like you don't want to prepare it fresh and everything. You're like, oh, no, I just ruined my
pizza. Pizza's the only one where I'm like, I'll still just eat, like, a sad frozen pizza sometimes if life requires it.
Yeah. if life requires that.
Sometimes frozen liquids is better than
like a lot deeper. Than you made it a lot deeper. Than
that may sound like I'm just sitting in the dark in my house, sad and lonely.
You're like sad, like one violin.
This is more just
backdrop.
Like just sometimes my like you're in the you don't have kids.
Yeah.
They eat up. No one wants to tell you this. I don't know why. They eat up a tremendous amount of time. It turns out, Harold.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that
very,
with all the people I've met with children
very,
before.
Very time consuming, you know?
Yeah.
They take up a huge amount. So like, I one time described like my week to somebody. I think maybe it was even like Alex. And he was like mortified. I said, okay, like on Monday.
By the way, somebody said canned CNS is trash.
Chicken noodle soup is trash?
Yeah.
My best take today?
Good job.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nice.
You know, every once
in
a while.
Take the date.
Every once in a while, you get a good one.
There you go.
But like on Mondays, right? Yeah. Come in here like a little before 8, I work. Then I leave at 2 and I go teach my class at UMKC. We're both professors. We can get into that in
That's
a minute.
That's right, yeah.
I teach my class at UMKC. I get home at like 7 o'clock and then I like eat dinner or make myself dinner or this or that. And then it's like put the kids to bed. The whole day is washed.
Yeah.
Tuesdays, my daughter has dance. Wednesday, my son has swim lessons. Thursday, she has dance. I don't know. There aren't that many like free evenings in the
Tap
House.
I will ask you this though, as a father of younger children, why is it that they want to do like 18 different activities?
So my kids,
you have the power to like lower, limit it to like 2 or 3.
I don't know, man. Here's
like, I'm not trying to say like baseball is your sport at 3. That's it. I'm saying like we can do like 2 sports and something like a debate or something and call it a day. Like,
I would think so. But here's what's really stood out to me.
Okay.
Every activity is different than when we were kids in the sense that my daughter only has one activity.
Yeah.
She is only in dance. She has dance rehearsal from 5:30 until 7:30 Monday night. Okay. She has dance rehearsal from 6:30 until 8 on Tuesday night. She has dance rehearsal on Thursday. She has dance rehearsal on Saturday. She is in one activity, Harold. There are 4 days she goes to dance. Yeah, but like they do football practice. Like they do, like, we got football practice 4 times a week. I'm like, that's how much NFL players practice.
Yeah.
No one needs 4 days of practice when you're 12.
Yeah, and you're running
football.
Running 4 plays.
We're just letting the quarterback run everybody
like,
over.
Like
the best athlete.
Remember the Titans line? That just like Novocaine, it's 4 plays. It'll make it work.
What I've seen more is some people are overscheduling and it's too many activities.
Yeah.
But I also just think every activity is more days than it used to be. And it's year round.
I think they're swindling.
So my daughter was in dance and then she'd have like winter sessions and then they'd practice inside the soccer dome and then they'd play games. And you're like, man, that
okay, but like, all right.
I thought we had off seasons or something.
Yeah, but like, dance instructors can't treat the young ladies or men, 6 to 12, 13 years old, and like act like they're about to be Baryshnikov. You know, on stage at in Carnegie
there's
Hall.
There's some intense,
like,
but yeah, there's some parents.
Yeah,
though.
Like, let's calm
Take
down.
It
like, yeah.
Take
like,
it to
I would know. Like, I mean, I played music. And, like, I played cello and then I went to bass. I played college orchestra for 4 years. And it's like, yes, I understand the practice and requirements and temperament. That's why music majors take 5 years to graduate, not 4. At most your, you know, universities.
Because you
got to
practice.
It's a lot of practice. An orchestra, but like the
I think when you get to that age, fine, you made your decision.
But the orchestra practices, those are like 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. But everything else was like your section, like the basses we practiced, that was 2-3 times. And then you had to get sections, you had strings, that was 2-3 times. Like it just all adds up. It's like NFL, like I tell people all the time, it's like, man, you think college athletics was hard? It was just very hard. And as you and I both know, you probably teach some kids who play sports.
Sure.
Like, it's very hard, but I'm like, hey, I don't want to underestimate the music people because, like, they're stuck in their books, too, man.
Sean Barber's texting us and said, don't be afraid of greatness. Your kids deserve 4 or 5 nights of practice. She's 8. She's 8, dude. It's not like there's an age in which I think you're helping make the conscious decision. And look, she doesn't complain. She loves going. Like, so it's not that. Like, it's not like.
Does she want to be the next, you know, Black Swan?
I just think she loves to dance. Okay. So she
likes is her goal to jump up and like make sure she lands on her feet or like she wants to do like,
I don't think she's 8. She hasn't made any of those.
Yeah.
Like some 8-year-olds do make those. Yeah. She just likes to do it. It's what she spends a lot of her time at home doing too. Right.
Okay.
So it's just how she spends
so
her time.
It.
Yeah. She's into
it. She's passionate about it.
It is a thing like, yeah, it's soccer didn't stick because she wasn't passionate about it.
No, but okay. But now do you as a parent sit there and watch and like, you? I mean, you obviously aren't like skilled in ballet, obviously,
but
you're, like, okay, like when my dad watched me play in football, even in like middle school, not just varsity, yeah, but like middle school. He was like,
"This ain't it.
You're not going to the NFL. Okay, so you're not getting a college scholarship out of this. Are we here?" But like, what do you think? Yeah,
I think parents are lying to themselves. And look, at eight, I don't think you can actually technically make those determinations. Athleticism's change. I think parents are lying to themselves. Like, so she played soccer for like 2 years.
Okay.
I mean, she was the worst player on the team.
Okay.
But she tried hard.
Yeah,
she was never into it, and it was clear that she was never into it. Had she wanted to continue doing it, we would have continued doing
it.
She chose to, she wanted to do dance more.
Yeah.
And that was going to take up way more nights a week. So you're like, okay, just do that. Do the thing you want to do. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
I got to get my son. I think he wants to do baseball next.
Okay. But like, again, like,
we've been doing soccer.
But like, okay, soccer is like, at that age, you're like, do you run to field? Do you know your position? Like,
so at that age, she didn't. She was picking daisies and dancing on the field.
Well, then
but Messi was on her team. That girl would score 45 goals a game. She's out here practicing kicks in her backyard net. She was incredible.
So then you keep the game going with that family.
My daughter's team lost one game in 2 years. I mean, they had to like take this kid off the pitch sometimes. She would wreck other teams so bad. Like, I mean,
they intentionally gave her bench time because she was too good.
She'd score too many goals. Dude, if you let her, she'd score 35 goals a game against those other kids. Nuts.
I was in Canada once. I was in Montreal. And back when, 15, 20 years ago. And they had this thing. They always say it's hockey night in Canada. But like, the reality is, like, that whole day on Saturday, it's like you watch the kids play. You know, I'm watching a youth hockey game because, like, my friend of mine, his like younger brother was playing hockey, and he's like, "Yeah, just watch this kid." It wasn't his younger brother. It was like, "Watch this kid."
You know,
and you know. Like, but it's like the one kid that scores all the goals, and they're like, "But that's like every hockey game in Canada." Uh-huh. It's like the one kid that scores everything, and then they're like, "Okay, they graduate," and then you go to that next level. It's the one kid who scores there, and then you're just like, "Oh, this is kind of a beauty of canceling everybody out." You're like, "Oh, this person's actually gonna be good." Now, the late bloomer here and there, but like,
I think until you're
it's
in like
pretty clear, like when you're at 10, like, okay,
when you're like a phenom, you were talking about like it works the same way as musical instruments.
Yeah,
like, a friend of mine, been a friend of mine since we went to first grade together. We know each other a really long time. She lives in Nashville.
Yeah,
she is a professional musician.
Taylor Swift.
now, could you imagine?
Well, I mean, she moved to Nashville for that reason.
She's a professional musician. Yeah. She can play any instrument or sing or do many things. Yeah. Cello has always been her main instrument. That is the one she is the best at. When we were in elementary school, it's like, how the hell do you play cello like this all the time? Like, she was great then. Like, you just know sometimes.
But like, okay, but even in music, like, it's like, play this required piece. That's the tryout for everything. Like, when I was in Tennessee, you had mid-sections. And then you had state. And you had to be top four in the midsection to be in state because it was East, Middle, West in Tennessee. And so, I mean, I was top four, like, barely for midsection, mid-state, I should say. So, I mean, I got into state. Now, I didn't participate because I had other things going on. But, like, I would have been, like, 10th in state in cello. And I was, and my dad was like, "Okay, does that get land you a scholarship?" It's like, in cello, absolutely not.
No.
You better switch over to bass where you got an opportunity. So like senior year, I'm switching over to bass. Turns out I actually got a limited scholarship for music in college playing bass. But even then I was like, play this required piece. And I was like, dude, I just started learning bass 3 months ago. Or three weeks. I was like, I'm not ready.
No.
I'm like Spencer Schrader. I'm like,
"Raw prospect.
So your name's Drew. Your name's Juju. Oh, I know you, DeAndre. I've seen you before. You're cool."
Hairless might surprise you. I have six? I don't know. I have a number of ones at state in high school during that time for singing.
Nice.
I'm not kidding. You might think I'm not kidding.
Have you told Vinny this?
No.
Where's like the medals or the plaque? You know,
I never bought them. They give you these like.
Yeah. They made you buy them?
Yeah, dude, come on. It's all a racket.
Yeah. I
mean, let's not get carried away.
How do you think these trophy stores stay in business?
Dude, you had to buy them. Same reason I don't own like a letter jacket. They're like, "Cody, what did you letter in?" I don't remember you playing high school sports.
Yeah, I do have a letterman.
I have an academic letter, and I also have letters in singing and those kind of things. I'm not. This is a sad existence of my life, but this is a.
I get the letterman jacket. We had the same thing, but I think that for first place, you should be.
No, that's not how it works for singing. You are judged individually. It's not like a. Your first place out of 30 people who sang, You were judged based on 1, 2, 3, yep. based on how you did in your performance. One is the highest honor you can earn.
But several
people get ones.
Okay, I got you now.
Let's take a break. We'll get back with more Chiefs here with Harold Kuhns of Fox 4.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday here on Cody and Gold, Cody Tapp, Harold Kuhns from Fox 4 with us, Drew on the other side of the glass. Drew, are you any closer to having kids, or did I really scare that out of you? Maybe like a year ago, he's like, really talking me out of kids.
A year ago, we were having similar...
I told him what
like,
it cost to send your kid to dance.
We were having similar youth sports conversations and all that stuff, and
it was monetary. Harold,
Cody was giving me all the rundown of some of the costs, I'm like, man, I don't know if I can afford to do this at the moment. Like,
I'll
even like thinking this immediately, like forget like sending them to, you know, school and all that other stuff, like the sports and stuff. That's...
Well, what neighborhood do you live in?
Daycare's at least $1,000.
I live up in Legends at an apartment up there in Legendary.
You live in Legends. Yep. So what school district is that?
I couldn't tell you.
So like, I mean, Piper's a good district. It'd be fine.
Okay.
I mean, you know, KCK schools, I would definitely give them a shot for sure. But like, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it sometimes has to do with, like, you're in a district with school. Like, everybody's like, oh, I got to send my kids to private school. I'm like, not if you live in Blue Valley. Like, I think you're all right there. Like, some of those schools are better than private schools.
Public school. I can't afford private school.
No.
I don't think I'd send them anyway.
Well, I mean, I know you're like Winnetonka or Oak Park. Yeah, but like. Yeah.
Are you kidding? The Tapp family was definitely public school.
My parents considered sending us to private school because my mom was a coach over at a Christian school for volleyball, and she... You know, she had some connections in there. But she sent us to public school, and from then on, I was like, thank you. Like, my brother, sister, and I are all like, thank you for sending us to public school, because we meet way more people from different types of backgrounds. We meet everybody that we're gonna come across with in regular life, and it's great.
Sure,
public school is awesome.
From the 913, I have 3 kids in daycare. I pay $3,200 a month.
That's insane. Insane. That makes me scared.
Say don't get 3 kids in daycare at the same time. Get one of those kids in school.
That's like 2 rent months.
That makes me scared.
That's $440,000 a year.
Nothing that you've said, Cody, that makes me that scared.
Okay, so this is why I've always been like...
I mean, you have
like,
to have triplets to run into that.
Like, whenever we do have a conversation, whenever my wife and I have a conversation about like, all right, hey, do we want to do this? Like, one of the first things we both bring up is like, where's our family in Kansas City that could help us with...
I help you. You can drop your kid off.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we live close to each other.
Uncle Cody.
I'll help. I got 2 kids. Yeah. I've kept them alive.
Yeah, I mean, you're nearby. Like, I mean, I'm just like, what do you do?
But outside
of
that,
it's like an exchange program. Like, you're just gonna be like, here's our kid to you. And every now and again, here's your kid to us.
Best setup.
Like, it's just like, it just has to be like, you gotta have 5-6 rotations. I'm like, everybody at Fox 4 is going to be like auntie and uncle at this point. Like, it's just going to have to be.
And they're like, you're going to be dropping your kids off at Rob Collins' house.
I'm sorry, you have to get along with Rob Collins' kids for like 2 days.
His kids are practically grown-ups.
Well, yeah, they are. Yeah, because his son's like basically losing baseball.
The fact that you, Cody, said as well, I did catch it, I've got two kids and they're still alive. The fact that you said it that way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's
encouraging, I guess, but it's also...
You know, they're both in the gifted program. So.
Very bare minimum.
So either they're naturally intelligent or I did something right.
I feel like next time we do this, we got to bring in the wives and have like a legitimate hour segment about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Bring in your wife and my wife. That'd be fun. Yeah. They work in the same building.
That's true.
Like, not kidding. Harold's wife and my wife work in the same building.
That's right, yeah.
They don't work for the same company, but they work in the same building.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, so, like, it's the tallest building in town. So yeah, like
there's a number of people.
Yeah, it's like 60 floors.
Let's talk about how this game's gonna be going. Our predictions are brought to you by Volkswagen Lee Summit. It's winter clearance time over at Volkswagen Lee Summit, where you could save up to $5,000 off of MSRP on 24 Jettas, Taos, or Tiguans, or $8,000 on Atlas or Atlas Cross Sport. What do you actually think is going to happen in the game, Harold? What's your official? Have you given your score prediction on Fox 4 yet?
I have not.
You want to be vague about it for now?
I can be vague.
I don't want you to, you know, give up the score yet.
You're fine. Low scoring. I just think it's just going to be low scoring and tough, competitive. But here's my thing about the Chiefs that's really impressed me this year more than any other year. It's that they have an aura of invincibility around them.
I know. It's crazy.
And it's like... Sorry, I just saw a text line. Oh, my gosh. Jeez. Oh, my gosh.
Hey,
I'm
sorry.
So sorry.
That's not what I meant.
I didn't mean to laugh, but like, oh my god,
that got dark. This is. Hey, by the way, if you want to know what it would be like to have a text line in TV,
oh my gosh,
yeah,
another
drink.
I want
to quit the show. Like,
if you want to know what it would be like to have a text line in TV, this is what it's like, Harold.
Man, that got dark. Oh my, I am so sorry.
In a hurry.
Wow. Ooh, man.
Anyway.
All right, 3-2-1.
Score prediction.
My gosh.
I can't even say what that one is on the
On air. Man, low scoring. And again, my deepest condolences. Low scoring. I do feel that they just kind of make a play to win this thing. I mean, I know I saw Josh Allen say, like, yeah, it's week 11. I'm like, no, it's not. I mean, I'm hearing the Chiefs say, like, yeah, we're just treating it like any other game. It's not. There's passion in this game that is probably, it rivals a postseason game. I mean, just look, CBS is promoting this game. Like, they're bringing the extra cameras. They're bringing the extra crew. They got two sideline reporters. Like, this is a big game. And, oh my, I'm sorry. The text line is really getting.
I'm sorry, text line.
I'm so, I really am sad.
I didn't mean anything negative in that. Oof. But, you know. I think the game is a little more high scoring, Harold. I think that the game is 27-24.
I'm sad right now.
I don't think that Buffalo's defense is as good as it looks on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I think largely that's been opponent based.
Yeah, that's been opponent.
And so I think that they're more like a middle of the road defense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I think the Chiefs will be able to score a little bit. Buffalo scores against everybody.
Yeah.
They got Josh Allen. I think they'll be able to take advantage of the Chiefs' defense in that regard.
They've seen him so many times.
So I think 27-24. I actually think the Chiefs actually get the regular season game.
They've seen him so many times. And like just like the Bills have seen Chris Jones so many times, they've seen Josh Allen so many times. I feel like, I mean, he's coming off 8 carries, 50 yards in the last game against the Colts, but the Colts are all over the place. And defensively, they know what they do. I mean, do we see Leo Chenal, you know, hero of the Denver game? Do we see him in a role where he's kind of been like, you know, because Willie Gay was doing this previous years, which was great because he had speed, he was effective. I think Leo Chenal fits that role perfectly. Could it be a Drew Tranquil that does that? We talked to Drew.
I definitely think a spy is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, spy is going to happen. I mean, but like,
Chanel's fascinating.
It's going to be a chess match a little bit for the first half, but then I think where we seem to do so well. The adjustments they've made at halftime going into the second half, I mean, it's great. Like, you see Denver, 2 second-quarter touchdowns and then nothing in the second half. We've seen it time and time before how the defense has been able to readjust and get themselves together for the second half. So, with the exception of the last drive sometimes. But I do think the Chiefs won this game because I think they just had –
They just had that kind of season.
They've had this circled for a while. They've had this circled. They knew about this game. I mean, I know Buffalo knows about this game, but there's nothing more they want to do than go in there and beat a Grim Reaper and just just snatch the soul out of them. And I think they know the opportunities in front of them. They're going
to
do it.
I think Andy Reid has to know the thing that we all know.
Yeah.
Which is, if you win this game, you are the number one seed in the playoffs. And Harold, if you start talking about the things that are important to this team in this year, the number one seed in the playoffs is vitally important for a team that's been injured all year.
Huge.
They know if they win this game, they are the number one seed in the playoffs, essentially. Unless you think the Steelers are winning 15 games.
Think about this, though. Patrick Mahomes even said after the Baltimore game last year, he's like, yeah, I don't want to do this again. I want to win games at home. Like, yeah. I think they put a real emphasis. There's certain games they circled. Obviously, Baltimore was number one at the beginning. Cincinnati was number two at the second week. But they put a real emphasis on, like, we need to hone in on these AFC games that we're going to have a tiebreaker with potentially. Yeah. And this is one of them. They've had this game circled for a long time.
Even at the risk of showing too much, doing too much, putting all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
This game has the value of two wins in my mind.
Indeed.
It is worth more than any other game remaining on your schedule. Yeah. Not to just say you got the Bills, but because of everything it allows you to do the rest of the season.
Cody, you're talking about...
You get to Travis Kelce next week against the Panthers.
You're talking about one game this week. You're talking about a one-game difference between a four-game difference.
Yes.
With a tiebreaker. That's how key it is.
One game with no tiebreaker or three games with the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
And you'd have three games with the tiebreaker against every other team on your schedule except for Pittsburgh. Who, again... I'm not saying they're a bad team. Russell Wilson has really impressed me this year.
A great team.
I've been blown away by.
I don't care what anybody thinks.
I think they're good.
I think they're really good. And I think Pittsburgh's a darn good team.
Honest to God, he turned back the clock with Russell Wilson. I'm impressed.
He needed proper coach.
I'm impressed.
He needed a coach that cared about him.
Yeah, that might
Mike
be.
Tomlin cares Peyton about Russell
hated
Wilson.
His ass.
Peyton hated him. He's got his quarterback now.
I'll tell you this. There's no bigger, and this is probably where Russell Wilson feels good. No bigger vote of confidence than this team is winning and we're winning a lot of games, and I still bench the guy to put you in the game.
That's true. Yeah.
I could have just left Justin Fields in and no one would have said it.
No one would have cared.
No one would have even remembered that Russell Wilson existed.
They may have the same record.
Maybe. Yeah. But like nobody would have said a thing. They'd have just been like, look at this, 6-3 instead of 7-2.
Yeah, but Steelers are, but they still got to play the Ravens twice. They got the Eagles.
Their schedule's
like a legitimate franchise.
I think they win this game, they win the number one seed. Yeah. And they can say that they play one game at a time. But if you're a coaching staff, I actually think it's malpractice if you don't look at this game as being more important than other games.
Yeah.
Because you know what it can do for the rest of your seeding the rest of the way.
Yeah, you have to. Like, it's a serious football game.
I want Schrader to hit the game-winning kick as time expires.
That's when you know it's a team of destiny. That happens.
That would be a moment.
when the backup kicker after their starter got surgery.
When that happens, Buffalo.
Then they are going undefeated.
Have you seen Buffalo's schedule after this?
Mm-hmm.
It ain't great.
They got the Lions, 49ers.
Yeah, it ain't fun.
I was trying to remember.
But I'm really fascinated by this game. I really do like this game.
The Bills remaining schedule.
I've always liked Bills Chiefs games. I know like fans.
Oh, they're so much fun.
I mean, I know
you're
fans
going to Buffalo,
are be like,
right?
Huh?
You're going to
yeah,
Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm going
right?
to Buffalo. I know fans are like, oh my gosh, this is nerve wracking, but I just enjoy the football aspect of it because it's like, you know, like there's chess matches, there's a checkers match within the chess match, there's backgammon. I mean, like, it's there's so many games and play, and like they know each other so well. Like, postseason study is obviously different than regular season study. And they've had three postseason studies. And like,
I think this is a division game. I think it's a division game.
This is the same as playing
the Broncos or the Chargers, the Raiders.
It's just like
anything can happen. One little small thing, some unsung hero, some dude we haven't talked about in five full days of talking about the Bills.
Yeah.
That'll be the difference between either the Bills or the Chiefs. Some guy for the Bills I've never even heard of, or some guy for the Chiefs that you're like, the Bills fans are like, who? The big Cam Taylor Britt, I don't even know who that is. That'll be the guy who gets the game-sealing interception against Buffalo.
Yeah.
Cam Taylor Britt in the red zone somehow will be the difference between the Chiefs and the Bills.
Yeah.
It's always like that in division
games.
Great game. It's the people you don't expect. For those who haven't looked at the Bills schedule, by the way, Kansas City.
There you go. I think
San Francisco.
Next,
At L.A.
Yep.
At Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, look, they finished New England, New York, New England.
Sure.
So, I mean, just layups.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a layup line.
But still, that next three is...
The next four, including Kansas City. Kansas City, San Francisco, at L.A., at Detroit.
Like, okay.
That's a murderer's row.
Like, think about Philadelphia last year, because they were the best team in the NFL record-wise
at
this point last year, because they were like 9-1. And all of a sudden, they had like 49ers, Bills, And then some, like, they had a couple other teams that were just like.
And they came to Earth.
That's right. They totally fell apart.
They totally fell apart, yeah.
They lost in that wild card game, right, to the Bucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They got blown out.
Yeah.
That was Jason Kelce was doing kisses, blowing kisses to the fans. Like, he knew he was done.
Say whatever you want about Baker Mayfield. He's a gamer.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, absolutely. Big game. Yeah. Big game Baker. He shows up. He's a pain in the ass when the game is the biggest.
By the way, side note about Philadelphia. You guys know how I feel about Philadelphia.
Yeah, you're a big Eagles fan.
Yep.
You grew up an Eagles fan.
There you go. They look... I don't know of a fan base...
I'm finally a believer.
No, I'm not.
What?
I don't know of a fan base that is like... more unconfident in the 8-2 football team than I think I've ever.
I was...
No... And it all revolves around the coach.
So going around the before the season, I said either the Eagles are going to win 5 games or they're going to win 13. There's no in between. I can't figure out this team. They are either legitimately one of the worst teams in the league or they're one of the best teams in the league. Mm. And now that I've gotten 10 full games of Saquon Barkley, they're one of the best. Dude, he made a massive difference in their offense this year.
You got to read that last text.
Oh, hold on.
Gosh.
I had to close it earlier. It got so dark.
It got really dark. Like, jeez.
Dang.
Just trying to get through a.
Is this Club Friday or not? Are you not entertained?
I didn't mean any offense earlier, and the text line got really, really dark.
Gosh.
Oh, and I got to pull it back up here. I got to click through like 9 things to see if the text. Can I read it?
No, you can't read it.
No. At least Mahomes isn't going to get thrown snowballs
at
him.
You can read like the last 8 on the text.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta stay out of this.
Yeah, no, it's a rough pat.
Text line predicted a 42-10 Chiefs win. I can read that one.
Man,
yeah, there you go.
That's Drew. What was your official score prediction?
So on the social video, it was 27-20 Chiefs. I think it's gonna
prediction.
Be.
So
I think
fair prediction.
I think Matt Vertaram.
I mean, it equates for this extra point.
I think that's true. I think Matt Vertaram brought up a good point in. He doesn't know how good this Bills team is. You mentioned, Cody, earlier that they only have 1 win against teams over 500. They don't have Dalton Kincaid. They don't have Keon Coleman. They're not necessarily used to having, and Amari Cooper's questionable. The Chiefs are used to who they got right now. I'll say 27-17 Chiefs.
Wow, he's going bigger.
I wouldn't be surprised if they won by double digits, just because of what you said, Cody. We think that the Bills are good.
We don't actually know as much about the Bills as we think.
But we don't know if they're really an 8-2 caliber team. Like, that actually would be 8-2, and you trust.
Okay, so I will. Vegas is usually not the biggest reliability.
No.
On anything, but. Because they try to make money. People forget, like...
Oh, yeah. Well, this is like, about making you bet.
Like, college football. You're like, oh, my gosh, KU's a 2.5-point underdog at BYU, which means if it was a neutral field, it'd be favored.
And you're that can't be right.
That can't be right. But I'm like, Vegas is trying to make money.
They want BYU fans to bet.
They're trying to make BYU fans, but no BYU fans bet because, you know, BYU. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we've got... I'm looking at the line now. Buffalo's now a 1-point favorite. It has been as high as 2.5. But recently, it's gone down to 1. I think people have done their research on this thing.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, Rob, you know, who's big into it, he'll explain, like, the fan vote's been Chiefs, but the Sharks have been Bills. But I think the Sharks are starting to come around.
The Sharps lost a lot of money on the Chiefs over the last couple of years. They're good at gambling for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs have not been in their favor. And I just straight up, I don't know how if you were like an experienced bettor, you wouldn't know the very simple stat that Patrick Mahomes is 11-1-1 against the spread when he's an underdog.
Yes. Yeah.
If you would have bet Patrick Mahomes 13 times against the spread as an underdog, you would have won 11 bets, tied 1 bet, and lost only 1.
You'd be pretty rich.
Yeah. You'd be feeling pretty good.
And I think he embraces that. He knows.
Oh, I think he likes being the underdog.
Yeah, he
gets to be it so rarely anymore that, like, when he is the underdog, and of course, 2 of those times he was the underdog was the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he loves it. I think the whole team loves it because, I
do too.
When the personality of your quarterback permeates throughout the entire roster, you can tell. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, who just got here, is, you know, basically loving the barbecue tour that he's on.
Kudos to him, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He's been to Gates and where else so far?
I actually talked to him in the locker room. He was basically saying, "I gotta go to LC's I got to go to Slaps. So, I mean, like,
he's got a list.
I appreciate
it. I respect it. Actually.
I appreciate
it. He did his research.
Yeah. That's what I appreciate most about him, because he's like,
he's in all parts of the city.
Yeah. He's like, no, I don't want to go to like the I like to call it the Big Five.
But Gates,
like,
Arthur Bryant, Jack Stack Joe.
Q39. I mean, he is going to Q39.
These are like the Power Five counts.
Yeah, like, exactly. But he's like, no, I want to go to the guys in the
Slaps, Chef J's.
Yeah.
There's a million other
Give me the KCK.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but you're DeAndre Hopkins. They'll applaud you when you go to line.
Harps was really high on my list
Harps
for a long time.
Good. Yeah, no, there's a place near the airport that's not bad too. Hanger?
Scott's Kitchen? They do some good.
Scott's Kitchen.
Hanger? Hanger? I haven't been there.
Hanger's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, so
good to know.
Yeah, but
I haven't been there.
Yeah, it's good.
Try to check it out.
Yeah, check it out. But yeah, no, it's but he, I think he's the biggest, like, you can tell when you listen to him. He's like, yeah, there's a difference here. And I mean, this guy's been on Arizona, Houston, and Tennessee. And you're like, yeah, you can tell.
Oh, they run a slightly different ship.
Things are a different ship here. Yeah.
It's crazy for a future Hall of Fame player to walk in and be like, oh, so this is how professional organizations do it.
Yeah.
He didn't tell me this whole time. This is how the pros do it.
He's got been it. Nothing but class, and obviously, like, we were able to help. We were able to, like, talk about Nashville because we both have connections to that city, but. He's been nothing but like class, but you can also tell he's like looking around like, whoa, this is how it works. You know what I mean? Like, that's a professional head coach. That's a professional quarterback. Like, that he's worked with
more about business.
He's worked with great quarterbacks. I mean, a lot of them, but he's worked with some good ones. But like, he's just like, yeah, you know, like, this is what I thought it should be. Yeah.
Hopefully it comes back next year. I kind of hope they get him on another 1 year deal.
Oh, Scott's Kitchen is. Hey, okay.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the same place.
Same place.
Okay. Happened there. Very good.
Yeah.
Either way.
It was good. Yeah.
Success. Harold, thanks for coming in.
Indeed, man.
We appreciate it. Drew, thank you on the other side of the glass. Carrington Harrison in the drive coming up next. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Ideally, after the Chiefs have started 10-0. We'll see you then.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.